on The Federal Drive with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris, weekday morning 6 to 10.
The GAO's Jeanette Frenzel at the AGA conference last week.
The condition of federal finances is really dire right now. We've got a very acute short-term problem where we're trying to deal with the recent economic recession, and at the same time we have a long-term issue with structural programs that we just can't sustain, and we don't want to damage the short-term economic recovery.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.
Find news about federal information assurance and new information from various agency CISOs and CIOs on the Federal Security Spotlight on federalnewsradio.com, sponsored by Cisco.
This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
The base realignment and closure process. We're going to get some BRAC updates today and kind of talk about what's happening in the area with Arlington County and other areas and kind of go over to an overview and talk about some of the transportation issues. I have in the studio with me Dr. Andrea Morris, and she's the BRAC coordinator. She's in charge of the BRAC Center, the BRAC Transition Center in Arlington County. Thank you for joining me on Fed Access.
Thanks for having me.
You know, what's been going on? I know you've been, and I've been trying to catch up and get on your schedule and everything else, but you've been going to a lot of meetings that's dealing with BRAC and getting a lot of updates, you know, meeting with a lot of people from DOD, from people in Virginia, state people, and everything else. What's going on with the overview of BRAC right now as we're coming? Because 2011 is supposed to be when everyone has made their moves, right?
That is correct.
So
the deadline
happening?
Remains September 15th, 2011, and this is really a very much of a crunch time, if I may put it that way. Agencies are actively engaged.
Let me ask this question.
Yes.
The September 15th deadline means that everyone has supposed to be gone out of, I mean, in terms of the moves that was allocated or the moves that were said that the BRAC Commission in 2005 said was supposed to happen, all of these moves are supposed to be in place fully by September 15th.
That is correct.
Okay.
And we also know that not all of the bodies, if you will, not all of the jobs will be completely relocated. For example, with the Mark Center, which is part of Fort Belvoir, because the decision was made so very late, they made the decision to relocate the jobs to the Mark Center not until December 2008, a full 2.5 years after the deadline, it became law in November of 2005. And so, of course, they were already behind the curve. So they've done a tremendous job to get the building ready. The building actually will be handed over this quarter. Keys handed over to the Army.
So the building has been built, is ready to go.
They are working on internal functions now, electrical, the furniture, things like that. There are about 9 directorates from the Washington Headquarters Services that are going inside of that building. And each one of those directorates must make a decision about who goes where. What are the networking needs and things like that? So that's what's going on presently.
Sure.
And that will be continued through September. And so the phase-in of moves will begin probably second quarter of this year and may extend through the first of 2012. We're not sure yet. But that would be the last relocation for this area. And so given that we're in March, I'll say March, already, DISA, the Defense Information Systems Agency, for example, has already begun moving. They initiated this about the second week in January, and they're moving about 200 people per week until they're done. And a lot of the activities.
How many people do they have to move?
They have about 4,300 people that are going over to Fort Meade. And so
their location at Fort Meade is already set up.
They're
ready to occupy.
They actually have their ribbon cutting in April.
Okay.
And so I'll be in attendance of that, of this year, of 2011.
It's coming up in
April. It's coming up.
The ribbon cutting.
Okay. Yes, the ribbon
cutting.
Currently, they have a trailer, if you will, up of people who are the key decision makers and those who are preparing the site.
Okay.
And, well, the new building actually is open, quote unquote. And so, again, moving the people in. But the actual ribbon cutting is in April. So that's an example of some of the things that are going on. Also, the Missile Defense Agency, which is relocating to Huntsville, Alabama, will complete their moves this summer. And their building is really interesting. They're located in Federal Office Building 2, which is also known as the Navy Annex. And it's next to the Air Force Memorial in Arlington. And that building actually will be imploded in early 2012 is the approximate timeline.
How many people occupy that?
Well, it's not only the MDA, Missile Defense Agency. It's also TRICARE. There are also marine activities. So there are a number of activities that are located in there that are not BRAC'd that have to be
just completely
moved
out.
Yes, they have to find a new home.
Well, I mean, that's good for you, though, because, I mean, in Arlington County, you guys were losing so many different agencies. Now
yes.
You're saying we got some space for
yes,
TRICARE.
Very
true. Are they considering that space?
Well, actually, TRICARE is part of the move that's going to the Raytheon building in Fairfax County.
Okay.
And there was a huge issue related to that. They were originally thinking about the Victory Center in Alexandria, but then they made a decision, the Army made a decision to locate it. It's on Arlington Boulevard near Parkview, the Raytheon okay. building. So that's where TRICARE is going. But nonetheless, your point is valid in that we do have some space, and the Navy activities and some of the Marine activities actually will be reoccupying the DISA building, and it's actually not the DISA building. It's Navy owned.
Okay.
And so that they will take up residence in their own building again.
So even though you're losing 4,300 from DISA, you're now getting back 4,300 from maybe the Navy and Marine Corps.
It's going to be a combination, majority Navy activities and okay. a few Marine activities. So, yes, they will reoccupy that building. And that will take place in March, April timeline. And what will happen is that building has to be rehabbed in order for it to be prepared for the activities that are going in it. Now, there are not 4,300 people at the current site at 901 South Courthouse Road. They are dispersed in a few places. But nonetheless, we are replacing the same number that we're losing from that site, which, again, is very important for us, given the 17,000 jobs that we are losing.
Right, right.
Important to us also is the relocation of about 1,200 jobs from Crystal City to the Army Guard National Readiness Center, which is in Arlington as well. So it's an internal move. But it's a major impact, nonetheless, on the communities around the Guard site. It's along Arlington Boulevard and George Mason Drive, which is very residential,
okay,
very dense.
So you're bringing a lot of traffic into that area.
Yes, yes.
Which has been a major concern,
yes,
basically, for all of Arlington, of kind of bringing in a lot of new traffic into a lot of residential areas that weren't built out
for that. And not only Arlington, of course, you know, I'm here to applaud Arlington, absolutely, but also the region. And these are some of the meetings that I'm in constantly, regional meetings and then national meetings as well, to discuss transportation. It's a conversation that we could have for hours because of the impacts. And importantly, there was a report that was put out on February 7th, and I think we're going to talk about it a little later,
sure,
so I won't preempt that. But for Arlington, again, it's preparing not only the infrastructure, the roads, but it's also getting the communication networks in place for the new activities that are relocating in these communities. For example, again, the Navy activity that's coming into the Penrose community. It's a new one, building relationships with the Navy and facilitating meetings with the community to make sure they are aware of what's going on, the timeline of the construction activity, what the actual impact of that will be. So that's been a lot of the meeting activity as well, working with the community.
So the agencies are what I'm hearing from you is that the agencies are pretty much moving pretty much on time.
They are.
I mean, they're on schedule.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting things going. They're moving to Fort Meade, or MDA's out to Huntsville, Alabama.
Yes.
They're going to be making that move. What, you know, are you hearing with the impact on the workers, though? I mean, you know, those workers who agencies are moving, if you are moving DISA to Fort Meade, the impact of a commute for a person, a lot of people who from DISA saying, listen, I can't do this.
Correct.
The MDA people, you know, how many people went Army Human Resources Command?
Right.
What's been the impact on the workers as this timeline is very, very near?
Unfortunately, what we're finding is a sense of a panic
okay.
now. And I say unfortunately because
now, did a lot, I mean, what's the numbers of how many people would you say took the move and said, I'm going to go with my agency? And then maybe how many people say, hey, listen, I know you don't have any official number, mm-hmm. but what would you mm-hmm. kind of guesstimate?
It's been a split of about 30% that said they will follow and 70% not follow.
Okay. Okay.
And that's been historic for backgrounds, and so we haven't seen any major difference in that at all. We did expect the economy to have an impact, more of an impact, but it's not. Because
what? What were you thinking?
Because the economy was slow, because we were in the recession, we thought more people would decide to follow the job, no matter where it was going,
right.
especially those that are going to Huntsville and to San Antonio. We're losing over 1,000 jobs to San Antonio.
But was the cost too heavy for them? I mean, just in terms of making that kind of move, completely moving their life. Some people have kids who are in
Absolutely.
High school or, you know, certain schools. They don't want to lose that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you were hearing?
I like your word cost.
Okay.
Because that's exactly what it is to them. It's not the financial cost. It's the family network cost, mm-hmm. if I may put it that way. Because of having children who are at a certain point in their educational lives in school, and having parents that they're taking care of as well, you know, the sandwich model, if you will. Some could not upset those networks, could not upset those routines. Excuse me. And then some, very blanketly, couldn't sell their homes. You know, that's an issue as well. And we've responded, I've responded very much so to a lot of questions about how do I get assistance with it. With this, and the Obama administration did put in about $50 million into the housing assistance program.
But was there anything for BRAC workers in particular?
It is. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. This it does address BRAC workers,
okay.
and unfortunately, the challenge is that the office that is responsive to this area is in Atlanta. It's not local, and so that
Wait,
is
so
you, the challenge.
You're telling me, and I'm just want to hear this correctly. You're telling me that the office that's responsible for the majority of BRAC workers, because the majority really came out of the D.C. area, is that correct? I mean, I know BRAC has an impact all over the nation.
It does.
But the office that's responsible to have an impact on these workers is in Atlanta. So they can't. You got to call into this, or you just can't walk in.
Unfortunately,
and meet with somebody.
No. Related to the homeowners, and I said housing earlier. It's homeowners assistance
is it
program.
For HUD? Is it a HUD office?
Or? It is not in particular.
Okay.
It is actually a part of DOD.
Okay.
It is in response to military having to move and relocate so often. So when the markets are affected as ours have been, they're down, and homes are bottom up, if you will, in their mortgages. DOD provides assistance, which is a good thing.
Dr. Andrea Morris, she's the BRAC coordinator at Arlington County for the BRAC Transition Center. You listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Mortgages should be illegal because you're getting robbed every month. For example, if you have a typical $200,000 30-year mortgage, you're going to end up paying over $400,000 after interest. That's almost a quarter of $1 million that you could be putting into your pocket instead of the bank's. I want to send you a powerful free CD to show you how. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My proven system can eliminate your mortgage and all your other debts using just the money you already make. That's right, no credit card debt, no car payment, no mortgage. It's easy, it works.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
Stop getting robbed of your money and your future. Call now and I'll rush you a free CD today. Call 1-800-500-2884. For your free CD, call 1-800-500-2884. 1-800-500-2884.
This is Jim Fleisig. Please join me on Tuesday, March 1st at 12 noon for my monthly series, The Federal Executive Forum. This month will be a Department of Homeland Security CIO roundtable live from the 2011 AFSEA Homeland Security Conference. My guests will be from Coast Guard, NPPD, TSA, and CIS. Don't miss the Federal Executive Forum Tuesday, March 1st at 12 noon right here on 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com.
Sponsored by the AFSEA Homeland Security Conference and Solutions Series.
The George Washington Colonials defend the Charles E. Smith Center against the best of the Atlantic 10. Richmond, Charlotte, Temple, and Dayton invade Foggy Bottom in the fight for conference domination. Get your 4-game ticket package today and be a part of the battle plan. Call 202-994-6050 or visit gwsports.com now.
Are you a woman between the ages of 35 and 60 with noticeable fine lines and wrinkles? If you answered yes, we're looking for you. We are currently seeking women to try an instant skin-firming serum called Instant Effect. As part of this opportunity, We will send you a free trial of the product, and you may have the chance to appear in a national advertising campaign. To take advantage of this unique opportunity, please call 1-800-500-0365 in the next 10 minutes. Instant Effect is a breakthrough beauty discovery that tightens skin on contact and takes years off your appearance. Simply smooth a lightweight serum on your wrinkles and fine lines and watch as they disappear from view in less than 90 seconds. If you're interested in seeing how young you can look in as little as 90 seconds risk-free, you must call in the next 10 minutes. Instant Effect is now available at Ulta stores, but for this exclusive free radio offer, you must call 1-800-500-0365. Hurry, when this offer's gone, it's gone. 1-800-500-0365.
Do you know someone who has done something outstanding in the field of human capital management? Nominate them for Federal News Radio's second annual Causey Awards. Together, we'll call attention to what may be a best practice in government. Anyone can be nominated, career, political, and contractors working in the HR field. The award is named after Mike Causey and his lifelong dedication to the reporting of management and federal pay and benefits issues. To nominate someone for the Causey Awards, go to federalnewsradio.com, search award.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my mom.
I'd probably talk about girls.
We'd probably talk about girls.
Anything, boys, school, clothes.
You'd be amazed at what they'll talk about if you give them the chance.
If I had a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If it were real heart-to-heart, I'd tell my parents what I'm going through.
I'd probably talk to them about growing up.
I'd probably tell my dad that I wish we'd do more stuff together.
I don't think it has to be a heart-to-heart. I just want to talk.
Give your family everything. Give them your time. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
FederalNewsRadio.com, your one-stop shop for all things federal. Listen daily to interviews with federal managers and government contractors. Read Mike Causey's daily federal report, or just stop by for an update on the latest news affecting the federal community. FederalNewsRadio.com, your source for federal news now.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And as we usually do every couple of months, we try to find out what's going on with BRAC, the base realignment and closure that started out in 2005, this recent BRAC in 2005, and is having some major impacts in the area. 17,000 workers in Arlington County affected alone, but also a lot of workers moving into other counties, Anne Arundel, Howard, all across the region, but all across the nation. We're talking to the BRAC coordinator for Arlington County, and she's also in charge of the BRAC Transition Center, Dr. Andrea Morris. Dr. Morris, we were talking about the whole dynamic of the impact of these workers, and we kind of mentioned the cost. And you kind of said something really interesting about, you know, it really wasn't about the financial cost, because, you know, some of the DOD agencies may help, you know, pay for them to move and everything else. It was really the kind of either the emotional cost, the loss of family, the loss of network, the loss of your church and everything else, because you've been living in the area for, you know, some of these workers, would you say, been living in the area for 20, 30 years working with these agencies?
Yes, they have.
So they didn't want to make that kind of move.
No. Many of them very deliberately have said to us, I have an investment here, and I'm not willing to upset that investment of time, of work, of heart, all of the above. And in addition to that, I'm not able to upset my family network. BRAC happens to the family, not to the individual worker alone. And that's one of the main things that I'd like DOD to recognize. If I were able to
offer something to them,
it happens to the family.
But do you think that's not being, you know, when these commissions happen, and I know that it's a serious, and I know you're kind of speaking from your role,
but
you're seeing the direct impact because you're working directly with some of the clients, and you're also talking to some of the decision makers.
Yes.
But do you see that this is something that's taken into consideration in these meetings, or is it really about, you know, for the decision makers?
Mm-hmm.
Are they honestly saying what's the impact on the family, or are they just looking at it from a budget perspective when the administration or Secretary Gates says, hey, listen, we've got to get rid of this property, or we got to make these moves, we got to save money? What do you hear?
More of the latter. Very, very honestly. So it is a matter of, I need to restructure the force. This is where majority of them are located, and this is an opportunity to reduce the footprint, the real estate footprint, one, which the efficiency initiative that Secretary Gates came out with in August of last year is very forcefully pushing per the directive of President Obama, and or whether it's reducing the carbon footprint. know, so it's a combination of the two, but it's really about the real estate at this point. It's about the real estate.
Real estate and cost.
Real estate and cost. And wow. Reducing the cost to affect some type of savings in some way or another. And so while I am not prepared to say that they don't consider people, their first consideration is how do I meet that? How do I meet that? And the effects are always on the people, and unfortunately they're not equal.
But with that, I mean, and we've talked before, and I've seen some of the direct impact. You hear some people leaving out of the agencies feeling, you know, kind of disenfranchised, or
Absolutely.
They feel, you know, that somebody, I gave my service to my country, I gave my service to my agency, and now my agency seems as if they don't care.
That's true, unfortunately.
Is that the sense you're getting?
We have too many of those stories coming in, and what's happening is because the pressure is so much on preparing the new site. The focus of the HR staff in the agencies, the focus of the BRAC staff in the agencies, the focus, of course, of the base commanders is preparing that new site to receive the activity. Now, that means I may not have time, if I'm an HR staff person in an agency, to sit down with you and to discuss your options, discuss your plans. I need to know whether you're going or not. Simple as that. And so what we've heard is that there's a lack of, and I want to be careful not to characterize the agencies as being not empathetic or anything like that, but again, their focus is on preparing. So there's a lack of responsiveness there, and potentially a lack of empathy as well. We've heard of some very deliberate and not kind actions taken against employees. That's why many of the employees have waited until this time to make a decision, to actually verbalize their decision, because they were afraid of retribution. And we've heard of it.
Wow.
On too many occasions. And on the contractor side, we've heard of contractors going into the office and being marched right back out the same day, or actually a few moments later, because they were told your contract has ended without any forewarning whatsoever.
We're going to talk about this in segment three, about, you know, a little bit about the services you guys offer. I know you guys got a new website, and I want to maybe hold it until we go into segment three, because I think what you're saying is, and if it's a BRAC-impacted worker who's out there who's felt this, or even a spouse who's hearing this, and they haven't been into the center or got into these services, I want them to understand that there is somebody out there to help them and kind of deal with this transition.
Yes.
And it's not too late. It may be coming up to 2011.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I'm hearing is that some agencies may have to delay moving people. Is that what's going to happen?
There's actually some potential legislation that could impact about 6,400 of the Washington Headquarters Services workers who are scheduled to relocate to the Mark Center. This legislation has been around for a couple of years now. It was originated by Congressman Moran. It's been modified and changed somewhat, but there's still a potential for that BRAC 133, as it's known, the Mark Center activity, to be delayed somewhat. And if it is, that certainly will have an impact on the workers who are in those positions, the timeline of relocation, and to Arlington itself, because they're in Arlington. So it'll impact transit, transportation plans, and redevelopment plans, all those kinds of things going forward. So we are watching that very, very closely to see what that impact might be.
Got you. We're talking to Dr. Andrea Morris. She's the BRAC coordinator for Arlington County, also in charge of the BRAC Transition Center. You listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Anoop Ghosh from Avincia Alliance commented during the panel discussion, Advanced Persistent Threat, Industrial Strength Hacking, brought to you by Booz Allen Hamilton.
From a technology point of view, we know we're not going to fix the user, and we're not going to create perfect software. So what can we do? Well, we can design resilient architectures, said in a different way, which is separate the untrusted code and separate user actions from the security of that system.
To hear this show in its entirety, go to federalnewsradio.com. Keyword, Booz Allen. Whether it's the theft of intellectual property, state secrets, or the disruption of critical systems that power our economy and ensure our national security, Booz Allen Hamilton's strategy and technology consultants provide an integrated cybersecurity approach across the full spectrum of people, process, and technology to leverage and provide a way of thinking and action to address advanced persistent threats across government and industry. Count on Booz Allen to help you be ready for what's next. Learn more at BoozAllen.com/expertvoices.
Join host Jane Norris for Fed Central on Wednesday, March 2nd at 11:30 a.m. as she talks with her guests, Mitchell Glassman, Director, Deloitte Consulting, and the Honorable Tom Davis, former representative from the state of Virginia, now Director of Federal Government Affairs at Deloitte. They will discuss how the Dodd-Frank legislation is intended to help restore responsibility and accountability. Don't miss Deloitte's Fed Central program on Wednesday, March 2nd at 11:30 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m.
Do you know someone who has done something outstanding in the field of human capital management? Nominate them for Federal News Radio's second annual Causey Awards. Together, we'll call attention to what may be a best practice in government. Anyone can be nominated, career, political, and contractors working in the HR field. The award is named after Mike Causey and his lifelong dedication to the reporting of management and federal pay and benefits issues. To nominate someone for the Causey Awards, go to federalnewsradio.com, search award.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Arinc.
Did a U.S. military psychological operations unit in Afghanistan try to persuade visiting U.S. senators to increase war funding? A Rolling Stone magazine article quotes the leader of the Army unit, Lieutenant Colonel Michael Holmes, who seems to substantiate it. According to the article, Holmes says he objected to what he saw as an illegal use of the team's skills on American citizens. The article says the unit was ordered by Lieutenant General William Caldwell to target visiting dignitaries. I'm J.J. Green.
Can you imagine the frustration of trying to repair a million-dollar piece of equipment only to discover the part you need cannot be found anywhere because the manufacturer no longer exists? At Arinc, they have the ability to recreate the most complicated part down to its smallest component, keeping that expensive piece of equipment running as if it was brand new. For more information, log on to www.arinc.com.
Hi, I'm Neil Asbury, host of The Neil Asbury Show. Please join me and my guests each week as we discuss the importance of international trade, entrepreneurialism, small business ownership, job creation, and the American dream.
The Neil Asbury Show, Saturday mornings at 8 on Federal News Radio. The Neil Asbury Show is sponsored by AIT Worldwide Logistics, Yoakum Shore and Trossaven, and WTS, Withers Worldwide Transportation Systems.
This is NIH Health Matters. I'm Joe Belinfi. Tinnitus, or tinnitus, is typically a ringing in the ear and is often a symptom of hearing loss. Dr. Roger Miller at the National Institute on Deafness and Other Communication Disorders says it's currently incurable.
There's some behavioral therapies that will help the patients kind of learn how to deal with this and find a way of making it less bothersome. And those are really quite good, but we'd like to have an actual cure.
Now a new therapy has been discovered involving a nerve in the neck, which is not typically associated with hearing. For more information on tinnitus and this potential cure, visit www.nidcd.nih.gov. Health Matters is produced by the National Institutes of Health, part of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. This recent report that was put out from the National Academy of Sciences that was really kind of a damning, I should say, to the DOD community. We're talking about this with Dr. Andrea Morris. She is the BRAC coordinator for Arlington County and also in charge of the BRAC Transition Center that's located in Crystal City. Dr. Morris, tell us a little bit more about, you know, some of these transportation issues. There were some recommendations that came out. And also with the Mark Center, I know there's, you know, we mentioned the legislation,
yes,
you know, about kind of maybe delaying some things.
Yes.
That was a big issue right there about mm-hmm. so many people moving into the Mark Center mm-hmm. and it not being enough of access roads,
correct,
not being enough parking and everything else, and really kind of jamming that area up with a whole bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
There's no metro access to that point.
No.
You know, what's going on? I mean, in an area where just a little bit of snow, you know, would throw off a whole community and put us, you know, in traffic for hours,
yes,
for 6-8 hours,
yes,
or a whole day. What's the thought on this? What were the recommendations? What were the solutions?
Well, I'll first say that in relationship to the Mark Center, gratefully, VDOT, the Virginia Department of Transportation, has decided to build an access ramp from 395. Into the Mark Center. That was recently announced just a couple of weeks ago by, okay, Secretary of Transportation Sean Connaughton for Virginia. So that's a good, that's a very, very important and very, very good thing for that area. Now, the challenge becomes the timeline for that. That's a 8-10 year process.
Right.
So again, it will not be ready in time for these workers.
And by that time, another brat can happen.
Yes.
They can say we can move.
Yes.
Right, right, sure.
Absolutely. So what is going on related to responding to the immediate impending impacts are a lot of transportation demand management plans. And this is separate from what the research board spoke to, and I'll get to that in just a moment. But all of the installations and the major ones, Fort Meade, again, Fort Belvoir, Quantico, and also the National Guard Bureau, again, Arlington is gaining in that arena. All of them have transportation demand management plans. They're required, actually. And it, each one of them speaks to how they plan to move, how the installations plan to move their workers on and off the base. The important aspect of this is that the communities have an opportunity to comment on it. Each one of those is part of the environmental assessment or impact study that, that each installation completes. And Arlington did comment on the guards in particular. And while it's not 100%, it includes measures such as reducing single occupied vehicles, SOVs, reducing the number of those that enter and that enter the site, increasing the number of van pools, carpools, slugging, and increasing the number of persons who may use shuttles. So it's a combination of tools, hopefully transit tools. Now, we also know that if workers are required to change modes, transit modes, more than twice, they're going to drive. Forget it. They're going to drive. And again, you're talking about a population that is used to commuting to transit-friendly locations. A lot of these jobs...
Because the majority of stuff in Arlington County, for the most part, is Metro Access. So if you're working in Crystal City...
Every job that's impacted for Arlington is Metro Access. Every last one.
Okay.
Every last one. Or Metro or bus. I apologize. Metro or bus. DISA is a site that has a bus coming by it. But you have all of the 13,000 jobs that are in Crystal City. You have the VRE and the Metro. But you, then you also have the slug line.
Right.
And the van pools and carpools. In Roslyn, you have the bus and the Metro line. And again, the slugging. Virginia Square, Metro line. So Metro, the accessibility issue is huge. I'm repeating myself. We all sound like a broken drum. But this is the main issue. And that's what the TRB, the Transportation Research Board, really hit hard at in this report, reminding DOD, you are taking persons from public transit routes and you made a decision to locate them into areas that are not supported by that.
And it's confusing because in a time where we're talking about everyone saying about energy conservation,
absolutely.
We're talking about, like you said, reducing the carbon emissions, any kind of emissions from cars,
yes.
Or any kind of pollution dynamics, and everyone's saying new rail, the administration's going to put $53 billion into new, more high-speed rail,
mm-hmm.
and all these other kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be a disconnect between what's happening in one part of the administration. And I can't blame the administration because the BRAC happened before
yes.
this. But there just seems to be a disconnect just with, you know, departments and everything else about who's talking to who. Is energy talking to DOD? Are they on the same page?
Mm.
You know, who's doing what? Because it just seems to be it's baffling to me.
And actually, the TRB brought that to bear.
Okay.
They mentioned that, especially in light of what urban communities such as Arlington, such as the core, in particular the urban core for the metro region, is working hard to do, and that's transit-oriented development. And so our plans, our progress.
Now, I know. Let me just interject this.
Mm-hmm.
I know DOD did say that, well, we need to, you know, go to buildings that are more, you know, deemed safer.
They did.
With concerns about terrorism and
mm-hmm.
you know, bomb impacts and everything else. They wanted to maybe move some areas and kind of back it off of a main
mm-hmm.
A population line or certain things like that. So, I mean, playing devil's advocate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, has Arlington County said, listen, we'll address those things with you. I mean, we'll work with you to kind of create buildings that are, you know, can resist this or,
yes.
or do this?
Yes, absolutely. We have, for example, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA, as we all know, DARPA, is having a new building built in Arlington. And it's going to be in Boston, and it will meet the anti-terrorism force protection standards for DOD, which are much more stringent than what Homeland Security requires under the Interagency Security Committee. So they're very different. But yes, the capabilities are there. Arlington is responding to those needs accordingly. What the challenge becomes is, again, the focus on the energy side, the sustainability side, utilizing infill, if you will, those kinds of things. And the report cites that what DOD is doing with removing the activities in the urban setting, if you will, and close to the public transit and putting them in suburban areas is exactly the opposite of what planning is going on in these communities. And so there certainly is a huge disconnect. And because of that, we're going to have these effects of transportation and transit. And so the board very strongly suggests that the metropolitan planning organizations, maybe such as COG for us, be engaged in the planning activities in the of any background, any DOD activity going forward, and that they have a member sit on a BRAC commission, if you will, and vice versa, that someone from the installation sit on a metropolitan planning organization and or a community planning organization to make sure we're taking into consideration what one another is doing, what are the plans going forward, and how do we marry the two so that we won't continue to have these disconnects going forward. That was a very important recommendation, in my opinion, given who we are, you know, an urban core and the priorities that we're putting forward. Because the priorities are seemingly being smacked out of the way for, you know, DOD, because who DOD is.
I hate to sound this way, but it seems late. It seems late
in the
game. I mean, we're coming up on this deadline that's really months away. Mm-hmm. And it just seems that all of this and these reports and everything else, and I mean, I think they're good. I think they bring out, you know, some things that, yes, we can think about for the future, but it just seems so very late in the game because everything seems already very much so in motion.
Yes.
People's lives have already been impacted. People have already had to make these major moves. I mean, what are you sensing?
Agreed. You won't find a person who's involved with BRAC who would disagree with you. I'm very confident in saying that. And at the same time, it gives us, I don't want to use the word hope, but it gives us something to look forward to in the future related to policy management and development within DOD. Because we know that this is not the last DOD activity that's going to impact a community.
Right.
And so we're hopeful that Congress will act on these recommendations and require DOD to modify its planning, to modify its planning activities, to get more engaged with the communities. The president also put forward in that executive order that playing nice, but being involved and engaged with local communities is a priority. And this is an opportunity for them to do that. So this report and what the president's put forward are very much aligned with one another. And importantly, this report also speaks to OEA, the Office of Economic Adjustment, which is a DOD arm that is responsible to engage any community that's impacted by a DOD action, whether it's BRAC or not. And the communities in this region have OEA project managers. They're wonderful, very responsive, very, very much on our side, if I may put it that way. I mean, they're an entity of DOD, but they work on behalf of the communities very much so. And they really go to bat for us, and they are the sources of our funding as well. And what the report says is you bring OEA in after a decision has been made. Again, after the fact, they're reactive instead of being very proactive and ahead of the game to work with the installations, to prepare the installation commanders, to give them training and guidance on how to engage with the communities and how to make sure that the master plans are being aligned with some of the planning that's going on in the community around them. And so giving OEA much more of a presence in the planning activity. And I agree with that. You know, again, I'm just one person, but I agree with that.
Sure.
But given that the skill set and the capabilities of OEA, that makes sense because they are closest to the customer. They are closest to the community, and they know what's going on in the community. They've given us funding for the planning research and the transportation research, so they know very, very much so what's available, who we are, what we're doing, and can inform and educate and support and facilitate that communication and those networks going back and forth.
We're talking to Dr. Andrea Morris. She's the BRAC coordinator for Arlington County, and she is also in charge of the BRAC Transition Center, which was the one that's providing the services that we'll talk about. We'll get more about the BRAC impact and the BRAC update when we come back. You're listening to Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Mortgages should be illegal because you're getting robbed every month. For example, if you have a typical $200,000 30-year mortgage, you're going to end up paying over $400,000 after interest. That's almost a quarter of $1 million that you could be putting into your pocket instead of the bank's. I want to send you a powerful free CD to show you how. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My proven system can eliminate your mortgage and all your other debts using just the money you already make. That's right, no credit card debt, no car payment, no mortgage. It's easy. It works.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
Stop getting robbed of your money and your future. Call now and I'll rush you a free CD today. Call 1-800-500-2884. For your free CD, call 1-800-500-2884. 1-800-500-2884.
Hello, my federal friends. It's the Geico Gecko, and I've got good news for you. I might even say it's some of the best news ever. Okay, well, definitely in the top three. The big news. Geico now offers discounts for most federal employees GS7 or above, which is no doubt a lot of you out there. So you could be saving hundreds of dollars on your car insurance, all with a company that began over 70 years ago with the sole purpose of serving government employees like yourself. Yeah, that's right. Geico, the government employees insurance company. And today, well, we're the third largest car insurance company in the nation. And did you know about Geico's 97% customer satisfaction rate? Well, saving money tends to make people rather happy, I think. So congrats again to those federal employees GS7 or above. Welcome to the Savings Club. Mike?
Got it. Hey, folks, this is Mike Causey. The Gecko's right. Discounts are available for most federal employees GS7, the equivalent, or above. Just call Geico at 1-800-947-AUTO, go to geico.com, or visit your local Geico office to see how much you could save.
Here's Kurt Barker, Associate Director and Chief Cybersecurity Advisor at NIST, on the Federal Executive Forum on Cybersecurity, sponsored by McAfee.
One of the keys, though, to really gaining a lot of traction is to change the balance of incentives somewhat so that the user community, the people who are acquiring and using cybersecurity systems, see more benefit than cost in the equation.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Federal IT organizations and prime contractors are experiencing a rapid rise in cybersecurity threats and compliance requirements. McAfee is the standard throughout federal military, intelligence, and civilian enterprises worldwide. McAfee's capabilities are essential to assuring federal networks remain resilient against the latest cyber threats. To learn more about how McAfee can help your organization combat cybersecurity threats, call 888-VIRUS-NO or go to McAfee.com/government.
The following statement has been authorized by Credit Guard of America. A nonprofit national helpline has been established to assist members of the public struggling with credit card debt. If you owe $2,000 or more to the credit card companies and are seeking relief, you are invited to call the toll-free helpline now for free information. 1-800-300-3320. This service is provided by Credit Guard of America, a nonprofit organization. The free helpline offers programs that allow you to cut your payments by up to half of what you're currently paying and reduce your debt to much less than you owe. Call the toll-free helpline now for free information at 1-800-300-3320. Again, a nonprofit national helpline has been established to assist members of the public struggling with credit card debt of $2,000 or more. Members of the public wanting to learn how to get debt-free and stay debt-free are urged to call the National Toll-Free Helpline now for free information and assistance at 1-800-300-3320. That's 1-800-300-3320.
The Federal Managers Association invites all federal managers, supervisors, and executives to its 73rd National Convention and Training Seminar, Federal Managers Turning Policy into Action. On Tuesday, March 15th in Arlington, Virginia, federal managers will gather for engaging presentations including Hiring Reform, What It Means to Managers, The Future of Supervisory Training, and Managing a Telework Workforce. For more details, visit fedmanagers.org. That's FEDmanagers.org.
The Dorebeck Insider, hosted by award-winning journalist and free thinker Chris Dorebeck. Engage your mind every afternoon from 3 to 7 as Chris engages the best minds in federal procurement, management, IT, and human resources. The Dorebeck Insider takes on subjects critical for an efficient government. Chris's guests answer the questions you want answered. Tune in to hear how the news shapes your daily interactions in the federal space. The Dorebeck Insider, weekday afternoons from 3 to 7, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. This BRAC impact is really supposed to be over in 2011, but it seems it's going to have some long-standing implications and long-standing consequences and repercussions. We're talking to Dr. Andrea Morris. She's the BRAC coordinator for Arlington County, also in charge of the BRAC Transition Center, which is in Crystal City. Before we go into the future of BRAC, talk to us about the BRAC Transition Center. I'm looking right now on the website. It's on my computer right now.
Yes.
Brand new website. It's very much changed from the last time that I saw it, where it used to be very much so text heavy. Now I see some great pictures and some other cool things on there. What services are you offering? And also, what can we find on the website? And give them the address where they can find these services.
Very, very happy to. It's www.BRACArlingtonVA, and that's one word, .us. Again, www.BRACArlingtonVA.us. Very proud of this website. It's been a long time coming.
This been your baby?
It's been, yes.
Okay.
It's been a long time coming. We've been giving birth to this for a little while. And what interested persons will find is it's broken down by audience, if you will. For example, again, we spoke about neighborhoods that are impacted previously, Penrose community, Alcova Heights, Barcroft. They each have their own page now. Okay. And the page is dedicated to the activities that are affecting them. Hmm. The base that's related to that, for example, Gamma Barcroft and Alcova, it's the Army National Guard Readiness Center, so it's connected. So they will find all the information related to the relocation activities of that site, of the base, transportation issues, contact names, and things like that. So there's a page for workers, businesses, the actual communities or the neighborhoods. There's also a page for developers. And developers and development is a very important aspect of this BRAC round. So the site is geared very specifically, if you will, to the audience. And then we have a topics page, transportation, workforce, development, things like that. Those are big, big, big issues. Crystal City is another. And then we have a page that talks about the services, the business services, and then the workforce services. And on each one of those pages, the affected person can go in and can look at the calendar of events that we have coming up, can register for events right online. You don't have to leave our site. We connect you to important reports. We have a scrolling on the homepage of all news items that are a BRAC. And every day it's updated. There's also an opportunity for any person to send us a note, to make a recommendation, to ask a question, and we get back immediately, as quickly as we can. So the site is interactive, and that's what we really wanted. I worked hard to make sure that we could have a back and forth, if you will, with our constituents and those that we are so much concerned about. And so, again, very proud of it, and I would encourage
for the BRAC. I'm looking right here. You can sign up for the BRAC e-newsletter, too. So
yes, you
get
you
updates
can.
And
monthly,
and,
yeah. Okay. I write a monthly newsletter and try to keep it light on the pros part, but it certainly does inform of important reports coming out, news items coming out, opportunities for services to come in. So, yes. Can sign up for that
now,
as well.
Now, and we talk about services because we were talking about the BRAC impacted worker.
Yes.
You know, who falls in that category?
Mm-hmm.
And then for the worker, what are the services that the BRAC transition is offering right now?
Good question.
I know there's been some changes in services and, you know, some modifications based on funding. But right now, if you're that BRAC impacted worker who's saying, listen, the deadline is looming. I just got my letter or I've had my letter, but I haven't really gotten on the ball with this process. What should they be thinking about? What can they get at the center?
First, to your question about who is the impacted worker. Great question. And it's any person that is working for, directly for, a DOD agency that's being BRAC'd. For example, if you work for MDA, you're a DIS employee, you're an income employee, or human resources command, on and on and on, all of those. But also, if you are a spouse or a dependent of that worker, you qualify for services as well. And then the DOD contractor. There are many contractors who are embedded in the agency, so you sit side by side with actual DOD civilian employee, but you are also
You also qualify for services. So any DOD contractor, and then the DOD worker, him or herself, and their spouse dependent.
Okay.
Now, what they're available for...
So their spouse and their dependent. If they have a dependent who's, you know, still maybe 18 years old,
yes,
living in the household but needs a job, they can come in and get services too.
Absolutely. And okay, we've had a couple of families come in at the same time. It's been wonderful to see, to work with them and to hear their stories. So we welcome you. Please do. Come on in.
Now, do they have to be a Brackenpatrick worker who's affected and they have to be in Arlington, or this is any Brackenpatrick worker?
Any Brackenpatrick worker in the region.
Okay.
Any. And we have had several come from, you know, the Maryland side, D.C., and as well as Virginia, so the DMV, absolutely. As long as you're Brackenpatrick, you qualify.
And so what services? When they come in, they get in there and they start meeting with somebody, what can they get?
Wow. We speak about career development. Many people come in because they want to stay in the region and want to find alternative employment. So what happens is, it's not just you come in and say, you know, I want to get another job. It is really an assessment of where you are in your career. It is, let's look at what you've done so far. Now, where is it that you want to go, and how do we map you to that? So it's very deliberate. It takes time, and I want to implore everyone, you know, to recognize and believe you are worth the time. You have got to take the time to spend on yourself. That's something that we really preach,
is
if you will.
Is that something you find that's probably the biggest problem with a lot of DOD workers? They don't put the time. They put so much into their job.
Yes.
And they don't put the time into their self,
yes,
or their own career management.
And it's I understand the commitment and the loyalty to the agency, and we certainly would not pull them back from that whatsoever.
From that, yeah.
Absolutely not. And at the same time, you want them to know, if you don't take care of you, nobody else is going to. And so you've got to put that much time, as much time as you do into your job, to yourself. And so there's a counseling piece of this, really, because DOD workers are used to being given a responsibility and carrying it out. I mean, it's such is the nature of the military, so it really spills over to the civilian world. And so there's a lot of time listening, talking with them, getting an understanding and feel of who they are, and then let's map it out. So there's career development, career counseling. Excuse me, you certainly can get assistance with your resume, and resumes are very important. Understanding how you prepare and put one together.
Because a lot of these workers haven't had to prepare a resume for years.
20 years, 20 plus years. That's been the average of someone not having to address a resume. And resumes are very, very different from what they were at that time. Of course, the interviewing. We have someone who comes in and does mock interviews. But in Portland, we ask each person to attend one of our workforce sessions. And we have three different sessions that we hold. One is on interviewing and networking. One is on KSAs and how do you complete that. And the other one is really on, how do you navigate this federal process? What does that look like? So we ask each one of any interested person to come in, to participate in those, to get the ground level, if you will, the foundational work, and then they can begin meeting one-on-one with our transition to career specialist.
I know you guys got some business services there as well,
mm-hmm,
but I'm going to tell people to go to the website to check those out.
Yes.
But if you are a business, then you can definitely get some additional services in terms of, and if you're also a business trying to get into Arlington County and
right,
say, listen, we want
right,
to take some of that Brackenpatrick space, you should go to the website, call Dr. Moore, and find out how they can help you. But, you know, we got only a few, you know, about 2 minutes left.
Okay.
I want to talk about, what are you hearing,
mm-hmm,
as it relates to the future of BRAC? I mean, you know, what's looming as we, you know, hearing about Secretary Gates and all these other kind of things?
We've been hearing 2015 since actually 2005.
Okay.
And so now conversation is getting more deliberate about it. So we're hearing between 2015 and 2017. There's going to be another BRAC round.
Wow.
Now, I'll qualify it by saying this. It may not be termed BRAC, but the effect will be the same.
Okay.
Because Secretary Gates...
So we're talking about closures. We're talking base closures.
Yes.
We already had Joint Forces Command in,
mm-hmm,
Norfolk. Would you consider that almost a similar kind of a BRAC scenario?
Yes, okay. I would. Because the final decision on that was not to close it fully, but to keep portions of it at the Suffolk site. And so it's a realignment, if you will, if I may put it that way. So similar activities like that will certainly be going forward. Many people think it will formally be a BRAC, but if it's not, there's going to be some activity between 2015 and 2017 to reorganize, again, to reduce the carbon, carbon footprint, but the real estate, more importantly, to reduce the real estate. GSA is very much engaged in this, involved in this. They've been directed to take a look at and dispose of unused Excuse me.
Unused property is an
unused area. Unused property as sure. well. So it's going on across the board. Homeland Security is impacted. The FEMA site now may not come at the St. Elizabeth site because of this. So it's something that is being addressed across the federal.
Dr. Andrea Morris, she's the BRAC coordinator of the Arlington County area, and she's also the head of